Okay, welcome to the Shir Aksava Kabbalah Parshas Baalotcha. So a few pieces I want to take a look at tonight. First of all, in Perek Yud Posuk Tes, the Torah is describing the parish of the Chatzotzros, the two silver trumpets which were made by Moshe Rabbeinu and were sounded at various different times. So at the very end of that parasha, the Posuk says that Perakim Posuk Tes, when war comes to your land, you should sound a trua with the trumpets. You'll be remembered before Hashem your God and saved from your enemies. On the simple level, the Pasuk is troubling insofar as it seems to imply that the Ribbono Shel Olam somehow needs to be reminded of our presence. And the way to remind Hashem of our presence is by blowing trumpets. In other words, if you read the simple reading of the Pasuk, it sounds like, you know, we go to war, things are not looking good, so we have to remind Hashem, you know, Kaviyachol, come and help us out. Also, we'll blow the trumpets. So that's the Pasuk says, V'nizkartem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. And then Hashem will remember you. What do you mean? Hashem needs a trumpet, you know, to remember us? And a similar difficulty we have in the following Pasuk. V'yom simchascha v'moadeichem v'roshei chodsheichem. On various Yom Tovim throughout the years. Uskatem v'chatzotzros. Aloloseichem v'yalzivchei shalmeichem. You should blow a tekiah with the trumpet. V'hoyu lochem l'zikaron lifnei Elokeichem. V'nei Hashem Elokeichem. Here too, the trumpets will remind us, will be a reminder before Hashem. Also, difficult to understand. What's this notion of the trumpet sort of reminding HaKadosh Baruch Hu of anything? How is it shayich, you know, to speak of reminding HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any way? So that's really the issue which the Ksav HaKabbalah is going to deal with over here. He starts off by quoting from the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel writes, with regard to the blowing of the trua in the case of war, kol hamarid yecherad levavo anoshim, a thunderous sound such as that which is made by the chatzotzos causes people's hearts to tremble. Ki inyan in yitok ha-shofar bo'ir ve'amlo yecheradu. The pasuk in Amos says this: if the shofar sounds in the city, shall the people not tremble? So says the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel really is addressing this question. How does blowing the Chatzotzos cause Hashem to remember the Jewish people as magic? You know, Hashem needs to be reminded. So he says, no. The sound of the Chatzotzos causes the hearts of the Jewish people to shatter. It causes them to turn in tshuva to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when they turn in tshuva to the Ribbono Shel Olam, so then he remembers them. And in turn, Hashem says, oh, you know, you're doing tshuva, so now I will help you from your enemies. This is Moshe L'Madav V'Dov. It's similar to what the famous Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah regarding the war which takes place with Amalek. Moshe Rabbeinu lifts up his hands, V'chiyadav Shomoshe, Osos Melchama, Oshovros Melchama, right? The Mishnah asks rhetorically, what? Yeah, because he picked up his hands. So that, you know, makes or breaks, literally, makes or breaks the fact whether Klal Yisrael are going to win or not. Elamai says the Mishnah, when Moshe Rabbeinu picks up his hands, so Klal Yisrael are inspired to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's that inspiration which causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give them the victory over Amalek. So the boy of the Chatzotzos, says the Abarbanel, is really more for Klal Yisrael than it is, you know, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Indian has the Karon Hu. And what does it mean that Hashem is going to remember them? Continues the Abarbanel. Ki biyosam poshim lefnei Hashem yasir parav mehem hu inyan hashichacha. Hashem, of course, doesn't forget or remember in the human sense of the term. However, when Klal Yisrael are not doing God's will, so Hashem turns his face away from them, that quote-unquote is called forgetting about the Jewish people. It's a conscious forgetting, if you will. It's not as if Hashem, you know, needs to be reminded, chalila, in any human kind of way. But you know, Hashem, quote unquote, forgets about the Jewish people when they're not acting well, meaning that he is not focused on their hatzlacha. Omnam b'shuvam el Hashem b'tfila v'tshuva v'inoy nesh efesh. Vayechadu lefonov. When Klal Yisrael returned to Hashem with tshuva, tefillah, and they afflict themselves and they humble themselves before Him, Yunus karim u'mushkachim v'noshoim e'ayveim. So then Hashem is going to remember them and is going to save them from their enemies. So the whole idea of the zikaron, says the Abarbanel, is really for Klal Yisrael, not really for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Lidvarov, commenting on this, Aksava Kabbalah says that according to the Abarbanel, Hatshuva v'hu ha'ikr chaser min ha'mikra. It's a beautiful pshat, but you don't really see it in the psukim, says Aksava Kabbalah. Aksava Kabbalah says, you know, you read the pasuk, you know, v'arayosa v'chatzosos, v'niz kartim u'pnei o'yveichem. Right? In other words, it sounds like the Pashut Pshat of the Pashut means it's magic. They blow the Chatzotzus, and that's what's going to cause Hashem to remember. So, you know, the Barbanel is saying a beautiful Pshat, but how do you fit into the Pasuk? L'chein yitochein l'chavin advarim yoster aloshna mikra. So therefore, says like Aksava Kabbalah, what I'm going to set out to do in the next few moments is to show how the Barbanel's idea, which he says is a beautiful idea, fits into the words of the pasuk. It's not just that you have to kind of shtup it into the pasuk, but it really fits into the word of the pasuk. And that's as follows: Levar milas vareosem inyan shvira salev unamichas haruach. What's the word vahareosem? So vahareosem, we know, comes from the word trua, and pashut pshat, it describes the nature of the blast which is sounded with the chatzotzos. Vahareosem b'chatzotzos, below the trua with the chatzotzos. Says the Aksava Kabbalah, but Hariosem has a second interpretation as well. Hariosem means not just to blow a trua, but it means to break your own heart. And he quotes an example thereof. Right? We say in the famous Kapitul of David Hashem Ori, the Ezbecha v'ahalo zivcheis trua. Right? I'll come to Hashem and I'll offer up in his tent karbonos of trua. Now, what do you mean karbonos of trua? You know, you don't blow the karbonos, but if you translate trua as brokenheartedness, so ve'ezbechav yalo zivcheis trua, I will bring karbonos of brokenheartedness before the Ribbono Shalom. So then the pasuk makes sense. But in other words, the word trua, and elsewhere he points out that the word trua is related to the word ra'ua, which means something which is broken or flimsy. So in other words, the trua, the sound which is blown with either the shofar or the chatzotzos, is called the trua because it's a broken sound. But fundamentally speaking, the word trua can refer to a broken heart as well. The ezbecha v'yalav zivcheis trua. And, you know, he connects this to the other famous pasuk, another famous pasuk in Tehillim, in Nun Aleph, zivchei Elokim ruach nishbara. What are the real karbanos before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? A broken spirit. And writes the Aksava Kabbalah that he references what he wrote back in Parshas Emor, where the Torah introduces the idea of Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. And there the Torah says that the Tkiyah Shofar is Zichron Trua. And there too, you know, the very similar question is raised by the Aksava Kabbalah. What? So blowing the shofar in Rosh Hashanah magically is going to get Hashem to remember us? How does that work? You know, just because we blow a horn, so that's going to, you know, cause Hashem to remember us? So he says the same word over there. It's zichron trua. It's the trua is really the brokenheartedness that accompanies the shofar, which causes Hashem to remember us. It's not just a magic act, right? But, you know, it induces within us a certain degree of Yehurei Tshuva. Again, that's the famous Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam writes that even though we don't quite understand why we have a mitzvah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, nonetheless, Remez Yeshpo, there's still a hint in it, Uri Yeshenem Yeshenaschem, awaken you who sleep from your slumber, Shuvah LaHashem, go back to Hashem. So in other words, the very idea of Tshuva, the very word of Tshuva, says the Aksava Kabbalah, speaks not only to the sound sounded by the shofar and the chatzotzos, but speaks to the idea of brokenheartedness, which is an essential part of what's going on over here. So that's what he says in terms of us. So when it says in our pasuk, "Variosu b'chatzotzos," al yidei chatzotzos to sabibu shviras halavavos, Unamichas Teruach. Right? By, through the Chatzotzros, you will bring about a breaking of your hearts. That's Bar Yosef HaChatzotzros. Not just sound, not just blow the Chatzotzros. Break yourselves internally by means of the Chatzotzros. And therefore, v'nizkartim lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, so says the Aksava Kabbalah, l'dayti eina kavona bo shatruos yalu zichronechem l'tova l'fon of yisporach ki'ilu biladei atruos hashichom yitzuya etzlo chalila. Don't interpret that phrase v'nizkartim lefnei Hashem Elokeichem to say that the Chatzotzros will cause Hashem to remember you. I mean, Chas v'Shalom to say that were it not for the Chatzotzros, Hashem Cholila would forget us, says the Aksava Kabbalah. Avotam v'nizkartem, what is v'nizkartem? Atem tiyu nif'olim min hatruos, l'sorer b'levavchem l'skor es asher shichachtem adhena. V'nizkartem means you will cause yourselves to remember. Up until now, you may have forgotten about Hashem. Vareyosem v'chatzotzros, break your hearts with the chatzotzros. V'nizkartem l'fnei Hashem Elokeichem, and you will remind yourselves of Hashem. Ki azavtem ilechas v'darchei Hashem, because you may have abandoned Hashem. Ve'oidem shebo aleichem em shluchei ashkochos to yisbarach la'nishchem ashahayu mitzvosov kishtechuchim elevavchem. Why is the enemy attacking you? Because you forgot about the mitzvahs of Hashem. V'ata titnu lev lios zechurim v'nizhorim lintos v'lifnos me'ayom v'hala el mitzvosov. And you should, you know, put your mind to it that from here on in, from this day and on, you're going to refocus yourself to Hashem. And he says it very beautifully. What's v'nizkartem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem? So usually we translate lifnei as before. You will be remembered before Hashem. But again, the way he's translating v'nizkartem, that you will remind yourselves. So the word lifnei is difficult to translate as before. So he says as follows. Milas lifnei inyono kan l'dayti inyan netiyas harotzon v'pniyas hamachshava. Lifnei means that you will focus on something. And that is, as an example, lifnos boker. Lifnos boker, it describes, you know, by Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Towards the morning. It was towards, you know, oriented towards the morning. Pinos el hamincha, pasuk in Malachi, to turn towards the mincha offered up. Here too, v'nizkartem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. You will remind yourselves to turn, to be pone to Hashem Elokeichem, and then that's going to cause you to be saved from your enemies. Right? So it's a beautiful interpretation of this pasuk that the chatzotzros are not for Hashem, the chatzotzros are for us, you know, to break our hearts and to remind us, you know, to turn towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Question is, how do you put that into the next pasuk? You know, the next pasuk, which describes that uviyom simchascha v'moadeichem on Yom Tovim, so you should not v'hariyosem, but uskatem b'chatzotzros. Now again, a lot of his pshat is based on the idea that v'hariyosem means break yourselves, but uskatem b'chatzotzros, how is that supposed to work exactly? So this he doesn't exactly address. He does go on to say, al derech zeh yisbor gam kein mashenema acharzeh v'hoyu lochem l'sikar l'fnei Hashem Elokeichem. The second half of the next pasuk, he says, works similarly. When we blow the chatzotzros on Yom Tovim, v'hoyu lochem l'sikar l'fnei Elokeichem, it will be a reminder before Hashem, means it will remind you on the Yom Tovim of your responsibilities to Hashem. But that phrase, uskatem b'chatzotzros, is a little bit left unexplained. And why should there be a difference between a tkiya and a truah? So perhaps, again, al derech laksava kabbalah, we can suggest the following. I don't know if there's a way to interpret the word uskatem as anything other than you'll blow a tkiya. In other words, variosem, you can say you'll break apart your hearts, okay? Variosem, ra'uah, you know, it has that double connotation. I don't know if uskatem, if that necessarily, you know, can be interpreted in a similar way. But why would there be a tkiya on Yom Tovim and a trua when going into war? So I think, you know, there are two different ways in which we can forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu when times are bad, right? We can forget that it's our own misdeeds that brought us into this situation. So when we're attacked by enemies, we need to remind ourselves to do tshuva. That's Arayos and Lachatzotzros. But as the Pasuk itself says, Vayishvan Yeshur and Vayivot, we can also forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unfortunately, when times are good. When, you know, everything's going well, you know, we say, okay, Kochi V'yosem Yodhi, also Liyasachayil Azeh. You know, why are things good? Because I made it good. You know, what did Hashem have to do with it? You know, Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't need the parking space anymore. Baruch Hashem, I found one on my own. Right? And the person says that all the goodness I have comes from me, not from Hashem. So Uskatim B'chatzos, if I'm Yom Tovim, when everything is good and you're enjoying and you're having a wonderful time, blow a solid, unbroken blast with the Chatzotzros. Because that will remind you that the goodness comes from Hashem as well. That sound will remind you that things, that the goodness in life comes from Hashem as well, and that itself will be a source of bracha that will be associated with the Yom Tov. Right? So that, perhaps, you know, one can fit that explanation into the second pasuk over here as well.
Why limit the times that we blow shofar? If the shofar has the ability, both in good times and bad times, to make one tune to shofar, why are we just limiting Yom Kippur or infrequent moments when we go to the Chumrah? Why don't we do it on a regular weekly basis or something more frequently?
Right. So why do we do it all the time if it has such an impact on us? So I think if we did it all the time, it wouldn't have the impact on us anymore. Think about Elul, right? Rosh Chodesh Elul, they blow the shofar for the very first time. Wow, you know, by Beis Elul, everybody's wearing off a little bit. By Tesvav Elul, you know, it's time to sound the shofar already. You know, I gotta run out of davening early. You know, I mean. Right, that's the nature of the human being, right? In other words, we become accustomed to something. What makes the shofar special is the fact that it's restricted to certain times during the year. You know, what makes the chatzotzos special is that they were restricted to certain occasions. Otherwise, they would have lost that power. And the truth is, that really underscores the point made by both the Abarbanel and the Aksava Kabbalah. If this is magic, you know, that magically whenever we blow the chatzotzos, Hashem is going to listen to us, so why not blow it every single day? But if it's about impacting on us, and mimeo, that's going to get Hashem, you know, the impact on us is what's going to cause Hashem to turn to us. So then we have to be a little bit more judicious about when we do this, because, you know, we know that an effect on us wears off very, very easily. I want to see a second piece from the Aksava Kabbalah, a little bit later on in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tesvav. So the people are complaining about many things, the lack of meat in particular. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't do it. He throws up his hands. I've had enough. Vim kocho atos deli. If you're going to do this to me, Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hargeini no harog, imotsosi chen be'einecho, v'al era b'ra'osi. Just kill me now. Kill me now. I can't take it anymore. I can't bear seeing the evil things that are going to happen. Just kill me, Ribbono Shel Olam, and get me, you know, just end it already. So says the Pasuk. So Rashi over here comments, v'imkocho at osali, at you is Lashon Nekeva. Right? It's the feminine form. Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Typically, when we address HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we use the masculine form, Atah. So why doesn't he say Vimkacha Atah Oseli? Vimkacha Ot, Vimkacha At Oseli. What does he put in the feminine? So writes Rashi, Toshash Kocho Shel Moshe Kinekeva. Moshe Rabbeinu all of a sudden lost his strength, and he became weak like a woman. That's why the feminine form is used. Weak in the physical sense like a woman. Again, in terms of willpower, women tend to have more willpower than men do. But in terms of physical strength, you know, if men are physically stronger than women. Tends to be. When Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the punishment that would befall Klal Yisrael because of their inappropriate asking. So Moshe Rabbeinu trembled, he lost his strength, and that's the expression at that he uses, the feminine form of the second person as opposed to the masculine form. The cost of a Ramban writes back Sava Kabbalah, the Ramban writes on this Rashi, below how he knows he's there. I don't understand this Rashi at all. There's a basic problem in this Rashi. Shekinoi at klapi malohu. At means you, Hashem. So you want to say that because it uses at in the feminine, it speaks to Toshash Kocho Shel Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu became weak like a woman. But he's addressing Hashem. I mean, the more appropriate thing to say grammatically, not theologically, but grammatically, the more appropriate thing to say would be to say that Kaviyochel Hashem became weak. You know, that's what, you know, fits the language of the pasuk better. Why are you telling me Toshash Kocho Shel Moshe? If he would have said some language that referred to himself in the feminine, okay. But he's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the feminine. So what's Toshash Kocho Shel Moshe? Says the Ramban, I simply don't understand the drasha at all. Drasha doesn't make sense on the surface. So comes the Aksava Kabbalah to answer the Ramban's Kasha and Rashi with a beautiful, beautiful Yisod. The Nira Li, the Kedoshe Elyon, Hamadanim Tzura Li Yodzra, Hamisdabkin Bo Yisparach, His Achtus Gemura, Ad Shi Yisbatlu Be'enei Atzmam, Ki Ilu Eino B'metzius Klal, a true tzaddik who nullifies himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to such an extent that it's as if he doesn't have an independent existence. And in a sense, he almost, whatever he has is connected to Hashem. So such a person, HaKolach Shieshli Einbo Mamish, I have no independent koach, no independent strength. Ukiilu eino b'metzias klal, raku yisparach ukochi v'cheli. It's as if I have nothing. It's as if I'm a puppet of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and any koach I have, I feel viscerally, like it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We just had this in the Haftarah, the second day of Shavuos. He quotes the pasuk from Chavakuk, Elokim adokoi cheli. Hashem is my chayil, is my strength, meaning I have no independent strength because I have no independent existence, says Chavakuk. Now that's Chavakuk, who's a Navi, but as big a Navi as Chavakuk was, says the Aksava Kabbalah, Moshe Rabbeinu was much, much bigger than that. So we see with Moshe Rabbeinu that kochol hamispoil tamid mikach elyon yisparach, his strength came from Hashem, for his atzem lehisachid bekochol b'chol eis, and the koach of Moshe Rabbeinu was fused. Whatever koach he had came from Hashem. Ad shnuchalo marbo kochol yisparach nikro b'shem kochol shel Moshe. I have to be careful how you say this. I'm just going to translate the words. It's as if the koach of the Ribbono Shel Olam and the koach of Moshe Rabbeinu are identified with one another. That's the extent to which Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Adon HaNeviim, made himself one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ukshe'amru toshash kocho shel Moshe v'la'amru kocho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino rak b'derech kovod kalapi maila. In a sense, it's not just a polite way of saying that which we can't really say, that Toshash Kocho Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in a sense, the usage of Toshash Kocho Shel Moshe, when he says at, is an acknowledgement of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu so identifies himself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the line is a little blurry in terms of describing the respective kochos, the respective powers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu possessed. Again, he identifies so much with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he can speak in the second person, at, and Chazal can say, Toshash Kocho Kinekeva, you know, speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll pick up after my verse, there's one more piece, a short piece from the Aksava Kabbalah, which I want to say over, and we'll do that verse of Hashem after we daven minus, okay? Rabbi Chanan ben Akashka Omer, Ross. Welcome to the second half of the Shir Aksava Kabbalah and Parshas Baloska. The very end of the parsha describes the encounter between Miriam and Aaron on the one hand and Moshe Rabbeinu on the other hand. And in the midst of that story, the pasuk famously says, Vo'ish Moshe Anov Me'od, this Perakid Beis Pasuk Gimel. Vo'ish Moshe Anov Me'od, the man Moshe was very humble. Me'al Kol Ha'adam Asher Pneihu Adama, more so than all the people on the face of the earth. The Sifri comments on that pasuk that the anivus, the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu was lo migufo ki im midaito, not from his body, but rather by his mind, which is a curious phrase. What does that mean? Not from his body, but rather from his mind. So the Ksav HaKabbal goes on to explain as follows. Ki yeshnam kamas tibos gashmios hagarmos kniyo v'shiflus ha'adam. There are various different physical qualities that might cause the person to feel a sense of humility. Kigon chalishas koach haguf mneach haloim mimezegrav chalishas hakovaso. A person is physically weak, you know, he has a weak constitution, so that weak physical constitution that he has perhaps contributes to a feeling of humility. Oshim sa'u pegoim orish adshu mistarch labriyo. So a person encounters various different life circumstances, poverty and the like, that cause him to be dependent upon others. Hamatziven esaruach mishavim salev machinel so. And those things cause a person to be somewhat brokenhearted, to be humble in spirit, because yeah, he looks around, he says, look, you know, my life is so difficult. I have this physical ailment, I'm impoverished, you know, all these things contribute to a certain contrition of spirit. So the Sifri is saying these things did not apply to Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, he was physically strong, he was wealthy, he was healthy, you know, lomi gufo, the humility did not come based on any physical factors that caused him to feel contrition. What's that? Right. So it's interesting. He doesn't mention that. There is, you know, it has been pointed out half in jest that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, for all that he was aroused for Sayyim, at the end of his life, he started giving a drasha on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the beginning, you know, of Sefer Dvarim, and he spoke all the way to Zayin Adar. So for a guy who's aroused for Sayyim, you know, it cleared up. So there is a concept that says that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was healed by Matan Torah, the way the Klal Yisrael were healed. Right, so apparently whatever that aroused for Sayyim issue was, at some point, maybe early on in his career, that disappeared. We don't, you know, we don't find the Aral Sfasayim idea after they leave Mitzrayim. What's that? Right, exactly. So Moshe Rabbeinu was physically in very good shape. Aval midaito ritzono hisnag v'derech hanova. So the Sifri means that there was nothing external pushing him to humility. It's something that all came from himself. You know, he chose to be a humble person.
He wasn't an inferiority complex.
Right, he wasn't an inferiority complex.
If that's what his will.
Right, he willed himself. And again, we'll see a very beautiful explanation which he's going to give in just a minute or two. The Avshalom Hoya L'Nela Mimeskulosav HaYekoros. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu knew full well his positive qualities, Yodashu Av L'Chacham V'L'Anaviyim. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he was the chief Navi, the greatest Navi ever, the greatest Chacham ever. You know, it wasn't a surprise to him. But what true humility means, he writes beautifully, is not to underestimate yourself, but rather it's to hold other people in esteem. And as Moshe Rabbeinu could have said, hey, I'm the smartest man ever, I'm the biggest Navi ever, everybody else is dirt. Right? He could have said that. He didn't say that. He ascribed dignity and importance to every person. He pushed aside his awareness of all of the positive things that he had. But really, he just looked at everyone in a positive light. He valued every Jewish soul even more than himself. So Moshe Rabbeinu famously says to the Rebbe Shlomo after the Chedo Egel, "Mecheni no misifrecha, blot me out." And Moshe Rabbeinu easily could have said, I'm worth a lot more than all the rest of them. Blot me out, you know. I mean, it's better for the world if I stick around. Get rid of Klal Yisrael. I'm somebody special. Who are they? They're a bunch of nobodies, right? He didn't say that. He recognized and appreciated the value of every individual. Is that halfway of fellow Milo Shenachrei Od? It doesn't get more than that. It's really that story that says Aksava Kabbalah that leads the pasuk over here to say that there was nobody as much as an anav as Moshe Rabbeinu. When you have everything, and nonetheless you're willing to say, get rid of me in favor of everybody else, that's really the pinnacle, the height of anava, of humility. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is referred to here as an ish. V'ho ish Moshe anov me'od. Why? Ki mitzad b'riyas mezeg tivo hayonote lora yoser milatov. Truth is, Moshe Rabbeinu naturally was inclined towards not such great things. You know, left to his own devices, he could have been a rotten, terrible individual. He worked on himself, and he brought himself to achieve all of those things in midos that he was able to achieve. V'ho ish Moshe anov me'od, ish, the Ksav HaKabbalah understands, is the self-made man. Who's the keich v'tiher chelek chomriyusto kolkach ad shenisapech l'teva shen elios netiyas chomriyusto rak l'tov. He worked on himself so much to the point where it became second nature for him to do that which was good for hu toar ish. And the truth is, if you read the pasuk, it's interesting, he doesn't say this, but I think it's just the next step from what he says. V'ho ish Moshe anov me'od mikol ha'adam asher al p'nei ha'adamah. Everybody else is an Adam, because they didn't work on themselves. Adam means, you kind of let the forces of nature shape you. Ish means you shape yourself. So Moshe Rabbeinu may not have been inherently, you know, such a nice person, such a good person. He worked on himself, till he got himself to this point. So Moshe Tzuriel over here quotes in his notes a famous controversial story that the Tiferes Yisrael relates in his commentary at the end of Masechta Kiddushin, where the Tiferes Yisrael writes that he heard once the following story. An Arab king heard about the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he had an artist who was able to go and paint pictures of people that would reveal their inner selves. So this artist went and he drew a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu and he brought it back to this Arab king, and the artist said, you know, this person that they say such wonderful things about, my artist's eye understands that he's really a terrible, rotten person. I can't understand why they think he's such an incredible person. The king says, I have to go see this for myself, it doesn't make any sense. He goes, and somehow when he meets up with Moshe Rabbeinu, he feels that there's something in Moshe Rabbeinu which doesn't reflect the greatness which he's been told about with Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu basically says, you're not wrong. Fundamentally speaking, you know, my natural inclination is to be a stingy person, a greedy person, a not so nice person, but I worked on myself and that's how I became the person that I am today. That's the Pharisee Yisrael writes. Every person can change themselves if they so desire. This Tiferes Yisrael was a very controversial Tiferes Yisrael. There were some versions of the Tiferes Yisrael where they either ripped out this page of the Tiferes Yisrael or didn't print this portion of the Tiferes Yisrael, because, you know, how could you say such a thing about Moshe Rabbeinu? But as Moshe Tzuriel points out in his notes, the Kedushas Levi in Parshas Truma says something similar. The Sefer Sidura Shel Shabbos, the Sefer Or Pnei Moshe, the Sefer Dego Machna Ephraim, again, all Chassidish Asfarim, all write a similar kind of idea that Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness was not natural, it's something that he had to work on in order to be able to achieve. And as he's pointing out over here, in half the line, it sounds like the Aksav HaKabbalah is saying something similar as well. Again, Mitzad Briyas Mezek Tivo Hayonot Elora Yoser Milato. From a natural perspective, Moshe Rabbeinu leaned more towards a bad personality than towards a good personality. That sounds a lot like, you know, what the Tiferes Yisrael was saying in that famous and controversial passage.
Right.
Nismali Havai is Kulo Ore, right.
Later on, so
that
the baby's ready.
I don't know how you fit that in with that medrash. It's I don't know how you fit that in.
What evidence or what indication is there that says that Moshe Rabbeinu had more of a negative, or had a negative, and he had to work on it to get more positive?
I don't know what evidence is there. That's the truth. In other words,
how do you say something like that with all due respect? But you can't even give me a pasuk or something or a remez or, you're making it up. Well, I don't know if you can say
I'm not going to leave you in the same room with the Tiferes Yisrael on Kiddushin. No, that much I know.
Right. I'm just saying, you're saying something. Don't you have to back up your thoughts?
Right. So, Elchinami, I totally hear that. I think the one thing you can say, that the Ksav HaKabbalah is definitely saying, is that the term ish implies a person who makes himself. Adam means that's how you're born. Ish means that's how you make yourself. And as Moshe, again, I think without any evidence about Moshe Rabbeinu, I think what these Mefarshim might answer is it's poshut because everyone is like that. In other words, nobody is born a nice, kind, super baal midos. Any midos that a person has, he has to work on acquiring. In other words, anything that a person has is because he worked on himself. There's no such thing as, I just descended into the world a natural tzaddik. So whether if he was born a nasty person or just, there's no such thing as being born, a good big tzaddik. That's I think the idea that he's bringing out.
Yeah, more person has to work on himself. The greatest person.
Right. So the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu was that, not that he was born great, but he made himself great. But again, not everybody looks at things that way. Some people think that greatness is just something you kind of fall into. And the point of all these Mefarshim is to say that greatness is something that you have to work on hard, in order to be able to acquire. Okay, again, as I mentioned at the outset of this week, I'm not going to, Baruch Hashem, for various good reasons, I'm not going to be in for Mincha Ma'ariv for the rest of the week, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Be'ezus Hashem. Next week, though, we'll should be a little bit more regular. So, like Sava Kabbalah, we'll have again on Wednesday night next week between Mincha Ma'ariv. Okay, Rabbi.